Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, my interactions with people like you, but like so many people that I meet on a regular basis, tells me that there is a real need for a different way of looking at the world and looking at how our lives matter. And so much of that is about us deciding where we're going to give our time and our money rather than simply someone asking for it or forcing us to comply. So if you're in a position, if you, your listeners are in a position where they feel a sense of kind of anxiety or a sense that things are just not the way they should be in their life, in their business, in their community, then I think The Circle of Impact, the book, will be helpful in providing some clarity about why things are the way they are and how to take steps forward to address them on a personal level.
How you day? Those are the sounds of Ed Brenniger. And as you heard, his new book is called Circle of Impact. And this was a particularly interesting episode because we dove into three concepts that he believes are central to leadership today: idea, relationship, and structure. We talked about how to be a more solutions-oriented world. And I think many of you, or any of you rather, would find this valuable because, as he says, we are in a world of transition. And how do we get to a place where we are providing value? Hope you enjoy the episode. Hope you get the book. Until next time, enjoy the episode. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today, I'm super excited to be talking about the Circle of Impact, how to really approach leadership in a new model and understand how to communicate effectively. You know, my guest today is Ed Brenniger, and he believes that the world is currently in transition, and he wants people everywhere to understand how to face the new challenges and new opportunities in both the personal and professional life. We'll be learning a lot about him, as well as how to tackle these life's problems that come at us. He's got real life case studies and practical advice. I'm really excited because his book is also coming out this week, the week of this podcast launch. So make sure you get that book. But before we get into the book and him, let me just give you a warm welcome, sir. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's very exciting, and I enjoy your podcast.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And it's very exciting for you as well. You know, this is your first book. Your first book comes out.
My first book.
Yeah. That must be exciting to just be able to finally have everything you've worked on be released to the world.
It really is, and it's just an example of the types of things that all of us can do. You know, mm-hmm. We all don't have to go write a book, but we all can do something where we set our mind to it. It's a function of the desires that we have, and we take the initiative and we work it out, and we work it until it reaches its conclusion. And all of us can do that. You know, it's just about setting our minds to it and being consistent in our efforts to pull it off. So it's just, you know, and that's it. It's just a book. Yeah. But in another sense, it's my book, and my book really means something to me, and I hope it'll mean something to thousands of people who will read it.
Well, I agree. I'm sure it will be, because, you know, the topic of making an impact in leadership is something that's very hot right now, but it's also necessary. But let's get to know the man behind the book. You know, who is Ed Brenninger? Who was Ed Brenninger when he was a kid? And how did you get started in this field where you are drawing on over 30 years of experience?
Wow. How many hours do we have on your podcast?
We have all the time you want. This is
I know.
This
is I'm joking with you. I grew up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Average family. I grew up in a really different time than what we have now. I grew up in the time of the segregated South, and I went to all white schools all the way through my scholastic education, and that gave me a different perspective on things. And you know, and one of the perspectives was that, and this really is not central to the book or to what I do now, but it's central to who I was as a child, was that my interactions with African Americans as I grew up, what little I had were always uniformly positive and influential in my life, and which means that I had kind of a different life than a lot of white guys had growing up in the South because of the people that I got to meet. And if I could take just that idea and kind of expand it, that's the way my whole life has been. I have just had the privilege of being thrown into different relationships, different social contexts, different organizational contexts, where I've met some really amazing people who have had a tremendous impact on me. And it's not that they were kind of heroes or stars or people who rose to the top of whatever organization or community or whatever it was. It was just that the character of these people made a difference in a very tangible way, but also in kind of small ways that touch people's lives. And I'm the product of those people. And in that sense, the book that I wrote, Circle of Impact, Taking Personal Initiative to Ignite Change, is really a book to honor those people who have touched my life.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love it. And that's interesting. When you talk about you've been put in positions where you were interacting with people that were different from you, and that gave you a different perspective of the world. I do find that that's, you know, when I look at the world today, especially, you know, me as a Nigerian who has lived in different countries, I understand both the complexity and the benefit of what that could be like. But I want to just understand even more what that was like when you came across someone that looked different from you, and the thoughts that came to your mind, especially as you contextualize those thoughts with what was going on in society around you.
Let me give you two stories. The first takes place in high school. Going to an all-white high school, my senior year in high school, we had a new head football coach come in, and he was an African-American, had played professional football in Canada, and he was a man of real dignity and honor, and working in a segregated community as an African-American coach of an all-white school was placed him in a position where he could be easily put into very compromising situations and destroy not just the football team but the whole how the school went on because of the presence of racism in society at that time. But he didn't. He acted in a way that all of us guys who are on the football team chose to want to be like. We wanted to be like him because of the way he handled pressure and the way he handled stress and the way he handled when we were defeated on the football field, the way he handled that. And so we were touched by his life. His name was Baxter Holman, and he was one of the great men of my life, and it taught me one of the principles of living with dignity and living with honor and integrity. And so that's where I really learned that for the first time. The second was that I went to university at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and it was obviously this is the early 70s, and it was an a very integrated community, and I saw civil rights demonstrations and marches and people, activists, and I was thrown in with people my age who are African American, and it wasn't something I felt intimidated by. I was just curious about it, and that really is who I am. I'm a very curious person. So I ended up taking a couple of courses in African American literature that was really helpful to me in seeing kind of gaining a bedrock or foundational understanding of what the African American experience has been. And so I've, you know, throughout my life, I've sought not just African Americans, but people who seem to be on the fringe, people who seem to be marginalized, as not people that I am intending to serve in some kind of paternalistic way, but rather people that I want to become friends with, because I know that there's something that they can teach me that will be beneficial, not just to me, but something I can pass on to other people. And that's been true all my life up until, you know, this very day. And I would say that it's one of the gifts that God has given to me, is to have that kind of experience where it definitely changed my life and gave me a sense of detachment from a lot of the conflicts that we find in the world, because I can look into it and see it for kind of in a larger context. And the consulting work that I've done over the last almost 25 years, has really been a product of that ability to see the thing, see people and situations and organizations in a kind of a holistic and an objective way, and to see the problems that are there and to be able to address those problems in rather simple, practical ways of looking at, well, how can we be better? How can we make a difference? Things of that sort.
That's so interesting, because it sounds to me like a lot of your childhood experiences, as well as experiences throughout life, have informed and shaped your worldview. And the way you interpret information is through, okay, this is how it is. This is the way I've been exposed to it. Let me figure out what's the cause of this. And you have this very introspective, as well as curious mind, which makes sense for your career. But it's interesting the way you take in that information, because sometimes people react the opposite way, where, you know, they're reactive as opposed to be inquisitive, which is what you are. So I just find that fascinating.
Yeah. Well, it's I think a part of it is that I do not feel responsible to run someone else's life, that they are responsible for that. But that doesn't mean that I don't support them, but it means that I can stand beside them and say, be their champion or be their cheerleader or be their support person as they seek to do whatever it is that they decide that they want to do with their life. And I was having this conversation with my younger son just the other day about how he felt so much freedom to choose his own path, and that I never imposed anything on him. And I think that's a lot of what goes into the kind of leadership that I talk about in the book, is that we really are needing to be in situations where other people's opinion of us really should not be the determining factor in how we view our lives, but we should really decide, this is who I am and this is what I want to achieve. This is the impact that I want to have. And we need to find organizational situations which allow for that freedom to make that choice, so that we can do things that really do make a difference, right, and have an impact.
That's all. No, I agree. And your thing is taking personal initiative to ignite change.
Yes.
Before we get into that, and the book, can you tell the audience briefly what you do, so people can know how to hire you, and then we'll use that context to just launch into this amazing book that you have and what you've observed with leadership and our current state of the world.
Yes. I've been a leadership person since the mid 80s, when I got kind of caught the idea that this is what my life is about. And in the mid 90s, I started a leadership consulting practice, which was really oriented around working with leaders in their organizations to solve problems, to innovate, so that they could strengthen their organizations for the betterment of their communities. So I saw that helping leaders make better organizations, strengthened, and made better communities. And that where you have communities that are failing, a lot of that is because the organizations, whether they're for-profit or nonprofit or local government, that those organizations are failing to provide the kind of leadership that they need to have. So I've been a consultant for most of the last 25 years or so. But a couple of years ago, I decided I needed to make a change and move in a different direction. And so I decided I was going to write. So I've written a book, and I'm going to speak. I'll speak to whoever hires me to come speak, and we'll talk about personal leadership and personal initiative and creating impact and how you can restructure organizations and restructure communities to encourage people from the lowest echelon of a hierarchy to the very top to take personal initiative, solve problems, and communicate better and innovate. So I write and I speak and I consult and I coach. Mm. And those are all kind of organizational labels. But what I really do is I engage people with the life situation or the work situation that they are in. And I have a program that I call Impact Day, and it can be a whole day or it can be a couple hours. And it varies according to the person because it gets customized to the person. But it's a methodology for helping people who are in transition figure out why things are changing and where are they going and how do we figure out a better way to move through this time of change that we're experiencing so that we can be focused on the impact we want to have. So I really do just focus on people, their situation, and how to make those situations work better for them. Yeah. So, but it depends on the person, and it depends on the organization, and it depends on the community as to what I'm offering to them. So it's, in that sense, it's all kind of customizable service to people. And so it starts with a conversation, and we kind of figure out what is the problem that they're dealing with, or what's pressing in on them, what is the challenge, how do they see themselves in transition. And once we have some clarity about that, then we can move through a process to determine a plan for action which brings change to their situation.
I love it. I'm a big fan. No, I'm definitely, you know, these are things that I geek out on. So I love that you're very, very into this.
But so there's a process. There's a process to this. It's not just a relationship, but it is a process.
Yeah.
But the relationship is what's central to it all.
Absolutely. And well, speaking of what's central to us right now, there's no denial that we are in a transitionary period as a world. Your book is showing people how leadership models can be used to solve complex problems, improve communication, and achieve more on a personal, professional levels. Can you talk to us about these leadership models that you have in your book?
Yes. When I began my consulting practice back in the mid-90s, I just went in to kind of fix problems. And as I began to fix problems, and I was working in a wide variety of organizations, began to see patterns emerge. And so a way to describe this is that every organization is unique in and of itself, but the problems they face are universal to all organizations. And that universal character of problems, I ultimately came to realize, is built around a breaking or a brokenness or a fragmenting between three dimensions. And that is the dimension of our ideas, which incorporates our values and our sense of purpose. Maybe we see our vision for the future and how we define what the end result, the goal, the impact of the organization should be. The second dimension is that of our relationships to one another. And the third dimension is the structure of the organization itself. And what I found was that in most of these situations, structure dominates the culture, and that ideas and relationships are secondary. subsidiary, that they're only touched or brought into the question or into the conversation when there seems to be a reason for it. Instead of seeing all three of these as in a dynamic alignment with one another. So the leadership model that I have, the circle of impact, is this circle between ideas, relationships, and structure. And the way we approach that is to say, what is the situation we're dealing with? I'm sure all your listeners have some issue that they're struggling with or facing right now, which requires some kind of resolution, some kind of answer. And so I would ask them, what kind of problem is this? Is this a problem of a lack of clarity about the situation itself, which would be an idea problem? Is this a problem of your relationships with one another, where respect and trust and the inability to mutually work together is not present? Or is the structure not working to achieve the goals which you have set out? So whichever one you decide is the problem, whichever dimension, the other two dimensions are drafted into the process as the resources for solutions. So ultimately, whatever the problem is, you're going to touch all three of the dimensions before you find a final resolution. And the communication that happens in that context is really important, because then what you're doing is we're bringing people into the process of solution creation that maybe were outside before, because the solution making was restricted to those who were in power or those who were in leadership, quote unquote, or those who were in authority. But in what I see happening is this model of leadership, it brings everybody into the mix to have the opportunity to help solve the problems that exist within the company. And that way, you're actually creating what I call a leader-rich culture, where everyone can demonstrate leadership, which is taking personal initiative to create impact that makes a difference that matters. So this is the big shift, and this is why this model is not just a kind of an abstract theoretical thing. It's actually a very practical thing. So if we were to ask the question, what should be the impact of my ideas upon the company, upon my community, or upon my family? What should be the impact of our values? Are they just words, or are they something which guides how we make decisions? How do those values then also impact our relationships to one another? Are we divided because we share different value sets, and these value sets are not compatible? Then we have a real structural problem, because what we have done is we've created a structure which has a brokenness at the core of its value system. So all of these things revolve around this circle of ideas, relationships, and structure, and that's the way we end up solving problems. But it also is how we equip people to be leaders in organizations. Because if we can equip them to use those three dimensions, then what we're doing is we're saying, we want you to be free to solve the problems that are immediately important to you as the staff person. And we want you to communicate with whomever you need to in order to solve this problem. Because if you solve this problem, it means that the senior vice president is not going to have to solve this problem. And if you solve this problem, it may mean that you're seeing something that no one else sees, because you're most immediately connected to this office or this process. And maybe you're creating an innovation that no one else saw, because they don't really deal with this every day. So it's equipping people with that kind of leadership, which is really the model that the Circle of Impact brings to people and their organizations.
Wow. Ideas, structure, and what was the last one?
Relationships.
Relationships. And you say these three, they go hand in hand. I'm looking at leadership around us today, whether it's presidents, whether it's leaders. Who are the best examples that you can give that embody these three principles: ideas, relationship, structure?
Well, I know people who practice this because they have recognized, particularly senior executive leaders who practice this because they have come to recognize that they don't have all the answers. They don't even know what they don't know, and that the complexity of the way things work in our world today is such that they can't manage it all. So it's really kind of starts with people who have accepted a kind of humility about their role to say that I can't be all things to all people. And I have to bring some people into the process. And, I see people who, this idea that there is kind of circle of impact leaders, operates on a couple of different levels. You know, I have one friend who was working for me as an assistant, and I gave her the review copy of the book to read. This is almost a year ago. And after she read it, she said, "I'm not supposed to be working with you. I know what I'm supposed to do now." And so she quit that very day, and she began to go work with women through her church. And now she and her husband are branching out into a whole new business that they're starting. And it all because they saw the whole picture of their life being portrayed through this book. There are other people that would never consider themselves as leaders, but who practiced a kind of personal integrity of being really clear about their values, placing their relationships with others as something very significant for them to practice healthy in a healthy way. And then they do things with these people to make a difference that matters. I think that if people are looking for a visual, let's say a visual of what a circle of impact leader is, they could go to Facebook and find Mike Rowe's Returning the Favor film series. I don't know if you've seen this. I began to watch this about a year ago, and he is finding people in local communities who have decided to do things that make a difference. In one case, there's a fellow who was helping the bunk beds for children in his community that didn't have a bed, had always slept on the floor. And so he started a whole organization that's doing nothing more than making bunk beds for kids in his community, impoverished kids in his community that don't have beds. And this idea has now spread to, it spread to at least 9 cities at that point. That was a year ago. There's a group of women in North Carolina who have for, I think, 20 years been going around and replacing the roofs of elderly people on limited incomes because they can't, if their roof fails, then they lose their house and they lose their home. So they're going around and fixing homes. There's a young woman in South Carolina who would show up at this laundromat every Wednesday afternoon, and she would pay to wash the clothes of homeless people. And so Mike Rowe's group went and basically arranged for a van to be outfitted as a mobile laundromat, and they gave that to her with some revenue to support her in her service to homeless people who need clean clothes. Wow. I mean, those are kinds of things that happen at the community level. I worked with a company about 10 years ago that had been through a kind of a Enron kind of scandal. And I came in, worked with them.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
On a value statement, but the value statement was intended to become the basis for a supervisor training program to equip the lowest echelon of the company to solve problems. And within 2 years, the company had gone from being kind of an embarrassment in their community to being recognized by Forbes as one of the most trustworthy companies in the nation. So these principles are practiced by people who don't even know that they're practicing them because this is just something natural to them. But there are also principles that can be practiced by intention when we see that we can be better and we can do things differently. The other thing to say about this is that a lot of people do this and would never consider themselves as leaders because they see leadership as a role and a title, and they're just doing what they do because it's out of the goodness of their heart. And I've talked with these people for years, I mean for decades, and what they tell me is, don't call me a leader because I don't want that role and I don't want that target on my back. I don't want to be in that kind of scrutiny. But I say, but you're making a difference that matters in your community and you're doing these things. Is it that leadership? And they say, yes, that's leadership, but don't call me a leader. So there's this transition that we're going through in terms of how we view the way things can be. And it's an endlessly fascinating thing to watch because I'm just, in many respects, I'm just responding to what I'm hearing from people and what I'm seeing and trying to understand it and put it into terms which other people can say, oh, well, if they're doing that, then I can do that. And to imagine that we could do that on a global scale is really what keeps me up at night and makes me up thinking about really great big thoughts.
Endlessly fascinating indeed. And you talked about, you know, people that sort of scoff at being called leaders. And in your book, a lot of what I'm starting to see is that you are really speaking to people to help them develop this capability to tap into a personal initiative that allows them to create impact and make an impact and make a difference in the world. But what I want to go even deeper into the people that believe that they are not leaders. I want to go and even talk about the people that actually think that they're not capable of being leaders, that they are in positions where no one can possibly value them. So
yes,
that person might be listening to this podcast and they might be listening for something practical that they can apply to their life so that they can start to see the results of their efforts. What would you say to them? Because I think that starts with a mindset, right? But how can you get a mindset?
One of my principles is the greatest change we all go through is in our self-perception.
I love that. Yes.
Yeah.
Last Friday, I was in St. Louis, and I had breakfast at this one little cafe. And I was with my sons. With my youngest son, and we were talking with this young woman who was our waitress, and we got into the conversation about the book because I had a copy of the book with me, and she listened and she said, you know, this is what I hear, and this is brilliant. She says, I hear you saying that this is not about what we can be. It's what we are already being right now. And that is right. So I don't want people to think that they have to be better than they are right now. I don't want them to think that somehow they're not good enough to make a difference that matters. All I want them to do is to recognize, look at the situation they're in, look at the people they know, look at the work that they do, look at their neighbors, look at their families, and say, what difference can I make right now that can improve this situation? That doesn't require them to go off, get another degree. It doesn't require them to make more money. It doesn't require them to do anything other than to take initiative right now. And it may be as simple as you have a woman that lives down the street from you. She's an elderly woman. Her family doesn't live around, and she's lonely, and nobody really takes care of her or gives her attention. So one act of leadership might be as simple as going down and spending a half hour with her every week, taking her to lunch once a month, and simply being kind to this woman who has lived a long life and maybe lived a life that was rather undistinguished. That doesn't matter. The fact is, she is there, and you go down and you offer friendship to her. That's the kind of thing I see as a place to start. Mm. I talk in the book about starting small. Too many of the leadership books, too many of the self-help books are talking about really big ideas, of believing something really big about yourself. I don't think that works very well. I think we have to start really small, and we have to grow into the bigness of our lives. Here I am, 65 years old. It's taken me this long all my life, for 40 plus years, to get to the point where I can have a book published that talks about these things. So it's kind of counterintuitive, I guess, is a way to say it, is that you don't have to be smart, and you don't have to be wealthy, and you don't have to be powerful to make a difference that matters. All you have to do is take the initiative to go do it, and then have a story that you tell. So if I can offer this to your listeners. Okay, my name is Ed Brenniger. I have an email address, ed@edbrenniger.com. If you have a story like this to tell, email me your story. Or if you have a question about this, send me your question. Because what I want to do is help you make the transition from being a person who is not taking initiative to being a person that is taking initiative. And I have no desire to tell you what that should be. All I want to do is support you in making that transition into being a person of leadership impact.
That's very generous of you. And what I'm hearing is, just so you're saying, even if there isn't a clarity about what you can do, because sometimes people say, I don't know what my purpose is, I don't know what I'm passionate about. You're saying get in the habit of doing, of executing, of providing service, providing value. And in that, you get experiences and your stories form, and you get clues to what it is that you can actually do. And it's counterintuitive in the sense that you're saying, even if you don't know what it is you're passionate about, if you start doing something, you'll stumble on it because you're putting that intention out there.
Absolutely. That is so true. That's really well said. Hmm. And I can't emphasize enough that we all, whatever age we are, we've all achieved something by reaching this age. And even if we have the perception, our self-perception is that we have been a failure in our life, just being able to identify the fact that you think of yourself as a failure means that you have something in your mind about what a successful person might be. And so even having a successful vision is something of an accomplishment. So I think that there's a lot of negative narratives that get fed to people that they're not good enough, and they're not wealthy enough, and they're not pretty enough, and they're not enough. And I don't pay any attention to those things. I think people just need to decide what it is that really matters to them, and then decide, I'm going to do one thing to create change in that area. And then I'm going to do another, and then I'll do another, and maybe I'll do something in another area. But what we learn is by, I think we learn by doing. And we come to our own sense of identity by doing things rather than simply by absorbing messages and saying, trying to make choices about the messages received and say, well, I'm going to take a part of this, part of this, part of this, and that's who I am. But we only really get validated until, we don't get validated in terms of those messages until we actually step out and begin to do things.
Yeah, until we step out and do things. Huh. This is, once again, anyone listening, anyone taking notes, we're talking to Ed Brenniger, who's the author of his first book called Circle of Impact, and it's all about taking personal initiative to ignite change. We've been talking a lot about how, you know, the importance of execution matters, what you feed your mind, how the act of service is very important. I'm curious, as someone as well, someone like you who's well experienced into the world, in the world today, you've observed several transitionary periods. You saw a world without digital media. You've seen the world with digital media. You've seen the impact of globalization as well. What do you observe when you look at what's gone on in leadership in the United States as well as Europe and different parts of the world? What is your objective view of why things are the way they are in terms of people being super reactive and really not able to find common ground when there are tools there to find common ground?
It's a great question. I guess I have 3 points there. So I do see the world as in transition, and I am more hopeful about the future than most of my peers. And I'm hopeful for this reason. I think that the technology of the smartphone is unique in human history, and it gives power into each person's hands that people even 10 years ago did not have. I mean, we're in such a dramatic shift technologically. I mean, there are a lot of problems connected to this, but the one advantage that all of us have now is this tool that we have for solving problems, communicating with people, learning how to innovate, learning how to organize, and it's all in the palm of our hands. I took some time off last year, and I went to Europe, and I went to see people that I had met through social media. And what I found was there is a lot of commonality around the world. But what I also found, and I find this every day in my conversations with people, is that there is this kind of break. This is the kind of the second point I want to make. There's kind of separation between the people who are focused on kind of a global world, that there's this global institutional structure that has been forming over the last 100 years. I look back to post World War I as the beginning of this really global institutional structure. And the belief was that we'll create this global structure and we'll be able to mitigate the divisions that exist between nations and peoples. Well, we have had more wars and more deadly wars in the last 100 years. And I'm not saying it's because of globalism, but I am saying that the structures have made it possible for things to happen that have been far more problematic than maybe they would have thought 100 years ago. So I see this globalization happening, and I see it as beginning to wane, that it is not sustainable. And I'm not being critical of it. I'm just being observing. I'm observing the cracks in the edifice of the global world structure, and it's not sustainable. And what I see is that what is going to happen is that we're going to be pulled back into much more of a perspective of being locally oriented. So in the book, I talk about acting locally on a global scale. So we do our thing. Let's say the guy who is making bunk beds for kids without beds, he goes online and uses social media to tell his story. And let's say someone in Munich, Germany happens to see this and says, you know, I bet you we have kids in our city who are sleeping at night on the floor. Why don't we start making bunk beds? So we have this power now growing because we have smartphones, which enable us to communicate globally in a very much more local-like sense, that we can do things on a local level, share those on a global level, and have a local impact because someone elsewhere has decided, well, I'm going to do what they did because it sounds like a good idea for our community as well. So I think there is what I would call a growing individualization through the phone, and there's a growing localism because that gives power to people to act, and most actions will take place in a local community. And then the third thing is that what we also recognize, I think we will recognize, is that we actually need each other far more than we don't need each other. And so the kind of the divisiveness that we're experiencing is really kind of the inroad of one kind of power structure kind of finding itself under real threat. And that a new power structure, which is far more dispersed, is going to emerge over the next 10, 15, 20 years. And so the world's going to look very different in 10 years. I don't know everything, but this is what I see already transpiring. So we have technology, which is enabling us to do things individually that we have never been able to do. We have a growing ability to communicate globally, but as individuals. So we're not dependent upon other people telling us what's going on. We can actually have conversations with people across the world. And then thirdly, we can join together and do things which make a difference, you know, and I call those that's a network of relationships. So we can form our networks of relationships and say, how can I help you? How can you help me? How can we do this together? So, for example, the promotion for this book, it's obviously it's being printed and published and sold in America, but half of my launch team are overseas. I have a friend in Germany, a friend in Slovenia, a friend in Austria, a friend in New Zealand, and a friend in Saudi Arabia. And they're all talking on social media about the book. And they're influencing people in America to buy the book, as well as people around the world. So I see this is the kind of the shift that's taking place. And I'm just at the beginning of trying to understanding this. And I will eventually write another book which takes the last three chapters of this current book and expands upon that so that we can actually see ourselves as locally active global citizens.
I'm with you. Thanks for sharing that. I'm with you. I'm very much optimistic about what's going on. And a lot of times when I see chaos and when I see a lot of discord, I see it as an opportunity for open dialogue. And as you were talking about what technology allows you to do, I think one of the things technology allows you to do is to tell stories through different mm-hmm. mediums. And you can see those stories through your phone, your television, or your computer. But, you know, even with this podcast, for example, here in a different perspective where, you know, you and I look different, we come from different generations, but we are able to find common ground on the point that everybody can make an impact. And we come at it from different angles and different experiences, but that point of connection is something I feel like can be amplified if we, as you say, network the right way.
So yes, can I say something in response to what you just said? Because it's really brilliant, and I hope that all your listeners here listen to exactly what you just said because I think it's really important. Here's what I think is the way we can do this. Instead of looking to people to kind of make us feel good about ourselves, we need to look at people and say, how can I become more interested in them, more supportive of them, learn their story and support their story, instead of dividing us out by saying, well, they're not like me, and so I've got to put my walls of protection up. And I think we need to take down our walls of protection and say, who are you? Let's get together. We may be different people, but there's something that we share, and that is worth discovering. something that we share that is alike and can unite us where our divisions will not do so.
Right.
So I think that's really a really important message that, and it's different than, I think, the just talking about diversity. I think diversity is important. I believe in diversity, but that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about actually showing a definite interest in that other person in a way that actually we build a relationship with them. I think that's what it's really, really all about.
We have to be interested. And that's, you know, I think at our core as humans, we all want to feel like we belong, we feel valued. Our work matters. and, you know, if your identity is validated and you understand that your contribution matters, you know, then I think we are able to create a better world. So it's, yeah. And I think if people are struggling to find empathy for how to do that, it's for the people can look inward and think about what they would feel like if they didn't feel validated or if they didn't feel like what they did mattered, and then use that empathy to turn that into action and say, well, let me try and do the same thing for others. And that's how we grow.
Well, I have one of my ideas that I would like to do, and I'm not sure how it's going to come about, but I'm going to share it with you because I think you'll get it and you'll appreciate that. I see that we need to care for our local communities, period. We need to care for. And one of the things that I've thought about doing is what I'm calling having a rally day for a community. And basically, I would come in and be invited in. Some local organizations would sponsor an event, and we could bring 100,000 people together. And we train them how to take personal initiative. But what we really are doing is trying to bring people together around what are the needs of our community and how can we together take personal initiative to make a difference that matters here and build some relationships and then build a foundation for collective action in a local community that hasn't maybe worked very well in the past. But part of that is the rally for, in a sense, loving the community. We care about our community. We believe in our community, and we are willing to invest the time and the money to make it a better place. That's one of the things I see emerging from this work that I'm doing.
Start local, think global, understand the impact of your community. I do definitely understand and see that as well, where a lot of people are they're not aware of what goes on around them. I think just the awareness of who you live with, who you live next to, what the environment is, how the same set of laws affects different sets of people, I think that builds interest and it grows your curiosity. And if you're inquisitive, you're not going to be exclusive. So
yeah,
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. As we come to a close here, I want to give you a chance to just, you know, say whatever it is you feel like you're called to say for this book, and why people should get it.
Okay. Thank you very much for having me.
And you're welcome.
It's been a real treat. And, you know, my interactions with people like you, but like so many people that I meet on a regular basis, tells me that there is a real need for a different way of looking at the world and looking at how our lives matter. And so much of that is about us deciding where we're going to give our time and our money rather than simply someone asking for it or forcing us to comply. So if you're in a position, if you, your listeners are in a position where they feel a sense of kind of anxiety or a sense that things are just not the way they should be in their life, in their business, in their community, then I think The Circle of Impact, the book, will be helpful in providing some clarity about why things are the way they are and how to take steps forward to address them on a personal level. I believe that that leadership is both personal and social. So it's not that you just do something on your own. There's a story in the book about a woman who takes personal initiative to improve the office that she works in, but she never brings other people into that process where they end up taking on her vision and they share it. And when she leaves, that vision continues on. So there's a need for this social. And so I would encourage people to buy the book and read it. Ask questions as they go through it. There are questions at the end of each chapter. Answer those questions, but also ask the question, as I'm reading this, what is it that I want to change? Is it something I want to change about myself? Is it something I want to change about my family? Is it something I want to change about the work that I do or the place that I work or the community I live in? And have a goal or purpose, a question to be answered as you read the book. I think it'll make the book much more valuable. And then if you want to reach out to me, you can find me through my website, which is simply edbreniger.com. That's edbreniger.com. And if you want to reach out to me, I will be glad to talk with you. We can interact with email or we can even talk on the phone. I see it as the beginning of a relationship, and it may mean that you come to work with me on the things that you want to work with, and I work with you. So that's how I see this unfolding. There will be more books written over the years because I think I'm only at the beginning. And so read this one. Tell me what you think. What are the questions you have? Tell me how this is impacting you, and it will help me write the next book that I'm already in the process of doing the research on.
That's amazing.
So edbreniger.com. The book is available. Circle of Impact, Taking Personal Initiative to Ignite Change is available right now on Amazon.com. You can Google Circle of Impact, Amazon. You can find it there.
Wow. Yeah, I'll definitely put all that in the show notes. Last question, though, is my mission statement, use your difference to make a difference. And I ask all my guests this question. So I'm going to ask you the same. How do you use your difference to make a difference, Ed?
I see myself as kind of an outsider. But my goal, the difference that I want to make, is that I want to move 1% of the world's population to take personal initiative to create impact in their local communities. That means my goal is to move 75 million people. So that's what makes me different, because I have not just an idea of selling books or being a speaker. I have a goal of creating a movement of people who are taking personal initiative to be leaders in their local communities. So that's the difference that I am.
Love it. It's so important. And the world is a better place because you're in it, sir. So I want to thank you for coming on the show. This has been fun. And good luck.
Thank you very much.
Oh, pleasure's mine. Pleasure's mine. Good luck on the book.
And mine too. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.